This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
They say that watching Mansfield Town should come with a health warning. And with four games left to go in Sky Bet League 2, as the race for promotion hots up once more, they ain't bloody wrong. It could have all been oh so simple. But a defeat, 4-1 at the hands of Crawley Town on Saturday, left the Stags feeling a little bit blue and a little bit deflated. Fortunately though, as the Stags were knocked out of the top three thanks to results elsewhere, the old-fashioned game in hand came into play, and thanks to Tom Nicholls' excellent looping header, the Stags looped back into the top three, climbing above MK Dons ahead of the Crunch Clash with them on Saturday. Now, with four games left to go, how is not important. It's all about getting over the line. Tonight, we'll briefly look back on the horror show at home to Crawley, the narrow 1-0 win over Forest Green, and ask the ultimate question. With four games left to go, can we get over the line and banish some demons of old? This is the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters, and dreams one day may come true. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Well, the last time we were on this podcast a week ago, it all seemed oh so simple going forwards. A win against Crawley, followed by a win against Forest Green, would have set us up for a perfect finish heading into the MK Dons game. But nobody quite expected us to do what we did against Crawley, which was collapse in a manner which can be described only as absolutely atrocious. We won't dwell on that too much tonight, because I think the sensor button might explode from our ranting. But fortunately, Nigel Clough's men did bounce back, and that 1-0 win against Forest Green puts the Stags back in the top three and puts it back in their hands. As always, come and have your say on your team and let us know your thoughts as we look back briefly on those two games and, of course, look ahead to the big trip to MK Dons on Saturday afternoon. And what victory, what a draw, or what even a defeat could mean as we try and do the mathematical permutations. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Craig, if you've done the maths, that is absolutely dangerous. And you can all off. Joining me to rip into my maths tonight, let's say hello and welcome to a man who's been doing it for seven series. Hello, Mr. Felton.
Good evening. I don't want to do the maths because it just makes me lose what's left of my fingertips, because I went through my fingernails on Tuesday night. So Mansfield in it, really.
Absolutely.
Sort of up as.
Absolutely. And the man who will bring calm to the even the most tense of debate, it's Mr. Alan Wilson.
Good evening, Craig, Cam. Good evening, everybody.
Good to see you as always. Right. As always, get your comments in the chat. And as Mark says, has anyone got any spare fingernails? Alan, with the greatest respect, you've been watching this beautiful club of ours longer than me and Cam combined. You have been there, you've seen it, you've done it. Is this the most nervy, on edge, anything can happen, edge of your seat, can't sleep season of Mansfield Town watching history?
Possibly. Yes, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty, but I am fully confident, 100%, Craig, that we will do it.
I'm not sure I was at the end of Saturday, to be fair. As Andy says in the comments, win Saturday and Tuesday and we're about there. About is the key word. We'll come to that later on, Cam. You messaged me about 5-10 minutes before we went live tonight and said, can we not talk about Saturday tonight? Well, I think you know this podcast well enough now to know that we're going to have to talk about it in a little way. And me and Alan, before you joined, we're having a bit of a discussion about the definition of bottling it and whether or not we did. Can we just agree that Saturday was an absolute nightmare of epic proportions and possibly, in a sadistic way, the slap on the face, the kick in the absolute that we needed to get us set for the final four games?
Yeah. I think it is. It's frustrating that we'd lost two on the bounce. All that, all being it was by the virtue that we didn't play Accrington on Easter Monday. Mm. So obviously there is the frustration there, but we never thought that we'd be nearly halfway through April and still having the injury crisis that we've had for most of this season. We start to get bodies back and we lose some different bodies instead. We're really short at the moment, and it's just going to come back to it again. If we don't do it this season, it's going to be if we didn't have the injuries like it has been for the last two seasons. So we should have enough to get it done and over with, but if we can win Saturday and win Tuesday and be thereabouts, I don't know what the maths checks out as at the moment.
We'll look at that later, but I think basically win Saturday, win Tuesday, and as long as Barrow slip up in those two games, we will get promoted on Tuesday. If we can, if we didn't do it,
then we've got the Gillingham game to fall back on. Unlike last time we played MK Dons, where it was
all or nothing,
and we bottled it. Yeah. That was the definition of bottling it.
Alan, let's go to Saturday for a brief while. You know, it wasn't the prettiest of games to watch. Yes, we had a bit of a defensive crisis. Arguably, we had more of a defensive crisis on Tuesday against Forest Green, having to start Aikens at right back. It wasn't the greatest performance that Mansfield have ever put in under Nigel Clough. And I don't know, I sense there was something wrong. Something just didn't feel right from the very start. And I know that we're all superstitious people. So is it the question that I've got to ask is, am I to blame or are you to blame? Tell us about your superstitions first and I'll tell you about mine.
Well, I got down to Sutton to go to the bank on Saturday morning and the bank swallowed my card. The alarm went off. Everybody was looking way out at me. We actually got my card back. The lady from the bank came out. I went into Asda to put the lottery on as normal. I couldn't do the lottery at all, so I had to put it on elsewhere. And then the third thing, I got to the ground and somebody took my parking space. So, you know, that was the three things. So I said to a friend of mine as we're walking down, it doesn't look good today. Things just don't seem to be happening right or clicking into place. But at the end of the day, Craig, we had enough chances to do, you know, to at least get a draw. But, you know, it was just one of those days. We didn't play well. They started well. They got the early goal and they sent to capitulate, and it was the worst defensive display I've seen all season.
Yeah, we'll come into the performance again in a second, but there is one thing that we need to clear up, and that is, was the absolute who stole your parking space found and given a good kick in?
Now, we did apologise. Not a problem.
I don't know. It's not fair. Usually on a Saturday, I'd go with my dad and he'll pick me up and we'll go. I had to catch the bus last Saturday because he decided not to go because he was away.
And the bus got into town a little bit earlier than what I'd usually like. I like to get to the ground just after 2 o'clock, after the team news has come in. The bus got into town way early, so I had to kill some time and therefore walked a different route to the ground. And because I'd been walking around, I was a bit warm. It was a warm-ish day on Saturday. Had a bottle of Oasis instead of my cup of tea with my sausage roll. So maybe I'm to blame. I don't know. But in all seriousness, though, like you said, Al, terrible defensive performance. And it actually highlights a little bit, doesn't it, how much of an impact both Lewis Brunt and Bailey Cargill have had. Because losing both of them, it really did show, didn't it, on Saturday?
Yeah. Definitely. But, you know, people have got to step up, Craig. We've got people in that position that can do a job. And please, Hewitt was back. Okay, he had a bit of a rough start, but I thought he rose into the game. He played better as the game went on. But, you know, there were too many people had an off day, not just the defence. Mm.
Absolutely. I mean, even Aidan Flint, Cam, you know, you can rely on him every single week. Always turns out, you know, a solid performance. He seemed to have an off day. I don't think him and Hewitt worked as a centre-back pairing. They seemed to be really at odds. I mean, you saw it quite early doors where Flint sort of knocked a bit of a back pass back towards where Lewis Brunt would usually be and Hewitt wasn't there and it almost cost us an opening and things like that. It just didn't click for whatever reason on Saturday. But the most important thing of it all is, you know, the fact that we had that Tuesday night game and the boys battled back, and even with the bit of a crisis which we had, Cam, they rallied around each other, which I was fearful of. I'm not going to lie, I was very fearful of on Saturday night.
Yeah, they did. Obviously, the frustration will still be there for that game. I think still now we'll be feeling the frustration in the camp. Aidan Flint, you're going to be looking for player of the season. It's going to be Flint or Keeler Dunn. Let's be totally honest. Mm. And both of them had a bit of a shocker. Flint wasn't himself. No, it wasn't a great partnership between him and Elliot Hewitt, but it was the first time that Elliot Hewitt had started and actually made it past the second minute for 9 months, 10, 11 months, yeah, whatever it was. Davis at the other end, I still don't understand how he's managed to get that as badly wrong as he did.
Oh, it's a sitter. All he had to do was roll it into the back of the net. It was hard to miss.
I think everything that physically could have gone wrong on Saturday did go wrong all at once, and we didn't know how to respond. Thankfully, we put those chances, well, that one chance away on Tuesday, which isn't great considering we've been free scoring, but in response to what we did on Saturday, that's the perfect response from it, because Saturday it was not good enough. Not when we are, well, until about a week ago we were fighting for the title, and now that's probably a bit of a stretch, but we're still very much in there for the automatics and one of the front runners for it. You think it's going to be us, Stockport and Wrexham, hopefully, and MK Dons will have to settle for the playoffs. But this weekend's a massive game, and if we're to show how serious we are, then we've got to put everything behind us that happened on Saturday. We've got to make sure that we carry on in the fashion that we did on Tuesday, but we just need to make sure we score more than one, hopefully.
Yeah. Absolutely. Keep your comments coming in. Have your say on your team. Simon says, walking out on Saturday, I just thought of getting thumped 4-1 at home to Rushden in 2002 and got the same feeling. Let's hope that, as a coincidence, it has the same end result at the end of the season. Paul asks, did Alan have a bit of a slip of the tongue on Tuesday night? He made a little mistake on his announcements. Did you, Al? I mean, I always thought you were perfect as always.
But everybody's human. I can make mistakes. But Paul will have to put it in the comments what I was supposed to have not said or said wrongly.
I can think of one, because but it's not your fault, it's how it's written. This all-day festival, all day is 24 hours, not 12 hours. So that's half a day, isn't it? Just saying. It's half a day festival, not an all day festival, because it's 11 till 11. Anyway, also, what was the thing with the cars on Tuesday night? Were people just parking in random places? What was going on? You made more announcements about cars on Tuesday night than an F1 commentator.
Just one of those things. People keep, you know, they get through to me and I have to call them out so that people can move them, and that was it. You don't get any for ages, and then you get two in like 20 minutes.
Apparently you said 11 till 1. But there you go. Let's go back to one disappointment. Cam, are you disappointed that he didn't read out your car registration number on Tuesday night? Yeah.
Very disappointed. Shocking. Supposed to be a professional, and then just doesn't do what the fans want.
I might be daft, Cam, but I'm not that daft.
I don't know. You almost got your moment on Tuesday night, though, didn't you, Al? I mean, we thought that we'd you'd long since forgotten about the.
I'm looking for
Giorgio Mauricio.
I was really waiting. I was hoping it were going to go in, but not to worry. But there's still a chance, yeah.
Absolutely, there is. Let's go back to some comments. Cam, I put this one to you because I know you weren't a massive fan of his on Saturday. I don't think anyone was, to be fair. He, like everyone else, had an absolute mare. Ben says, much prefer the centre-back coupling of Flint and Bowery that we saw against Forest Green. Macker and Williams would be good if they are fit to play full-back. I'm going to agree with Ben, to be fair, Cam. Hewitt, I love Hewitt. And if he's going to play, though, he needs to play right-back because him and Flint did not work. Him and Bowery, I feel, have a much better understanding together. And at this stage of the campaign, where everything matters, I'd much rather have a tried and tested coupling than ones who have played, let's be honest, a very poor 70 minutes together.
Yeah. And I think I agree more on the basis of which foot they're more natural with.
Yes.
You can't be, this was another criticism on Saturday, just in general, just that we were playing players in positions. All right, they've played there before, but they were playing players in opposite positions where they should be. So if like, you're playing Hewitt at left side centre back. Well, you can't do that. He's right footed. It's just not going to work straight away. And point proven, when we needed to get the ball clear, you're struggling to get it onto your other foot and get it away. Whereas Cargill or Bowery just gets rid, because obviously it's on their more natural side, just get rid of the ball. Same in the midfield. Played Maris on the left, Boateng on the right. Why? Maris plays right footed, Boateng plays left footed. And I keep seeing these comments about sort of like, I think it was Nigel brought it up, saying like, we need players to start swinging the ball in a bit more. Well, that's fine. That's come off once with Boateng in that position. Whereas playing him a bit further forward and a bit more central gives him a bit more ability to move around like he did on Saturday. And it was just frustrating on Saturday because there was a ball where he could have just easily just played it up and over the top, and it'd have set Swan or Nichols, whoever, through. And he was left, he's on his left side, and he just messed it up completely. And I think it just epitomised everything that went wrong on Saturday. The tactics just weren't there. The players' heads weren't there. I think it's the first time in a very long time where the players just didn't look bothered. They're just so pedestrian. And that really annoyed me on Saturday, because it was just, I can't be done with lazy players. And it just looked like everyone just had one of those games. And we can say it's an off game, fine, but Crewe, Wimbledon, MK Dons, they were off games where we've lost by one goal. Saturday was just an embarrassment.
Yeah, 100%. It's that thing, isn't it, where realistically, I think we were all a little bit annoyed because, in truth, we've not actually been that good for 8 or 9 games. The Bradford result sort of makes it a little bit better because of the manner in which we won it. But I think it was Simon who put in the comments, it might have been a tongue-in-cheek comment about can't keep a clean sheet for 8 games, simple, plonk 2 strikers in the back 4, sorted. But the fact that we'd not kept a clean sheet for 8 or so games, Al, spoke volumes about how we were dipping off. Even though we'd sort of got to the top of the table and we were starting to create a little bit of a gap, I think we all knew, didn't we, in the back of our heads, that not keeping a clean sheet was our Achilles heel, and at some point it was going to come back and bite us on the backside.
Yeah, well, we've had the dip at the wrong time, haven't we? We'd been doing reasonably well all the way through. We'd got to the top of the league, excuse me, and we hadn't really had a dip. And like we said, it was like Nigel said, everybody said it, it's when you can't keep a clean sheet that you start struggling. And we just made the mistakes not to keep the clean sheet. It wasn't like, you know, 7 or 8 wonder goals. It was because we'd made mistakes to let them through. That was the annoying thing about it. But hopefully we're back on the right track now. The provided, I thought Boateng was really good on Tuesday night. I thought he had a quality game. That I did.
Yeah. Keep your comments coming in. Have your say on your team. Let's go for a few more. I honestly think we are better away from home this season, says Mark. We seem to be very nervous at home and have conceded early goals at home far too many times. Knowing the Stags, we'll win Saturday and lose Tuesday. Martin says, I noticed early today that Brunt joining in on the Food Hub shooting challenge thing. Surely that's a good thing and not as bad as we thought. Depends when it was filmed, to be fair.
A while ago. Because they did the dartboard challenge months ago, so they might have done it at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be honest, I thought that was different. This one that I've seen today is different because they've got 3 players in each group or 3 people in each group. I think that must have been done really, you know, either today or yesterday or whatever.
I don't, from a media point of view, I don't, in terms of production on the video, I don't think it would have been filmed today and turned around and put out today. It would have been, I think this would have been weeks in play. I'm going to say possibly last week, but even though, you know, he joined in, and that is potentially a good sign, but I don't think he'll be back. Brunt, that is, for Saturday. Paul says Bailey Cargill has been seen wearing a knee brace and on crutches. Is this true? I don't know. This mean his season is over? Alan?
I don't know about season over, but he has been seen with a knee brace and crutches, yes.
Yeah, so that would suggest a longer-term injury.
Sorry, just something on this video. Not fair. They're using regular-sized balls.
Oh, here we go.
They're using regular-sized footballs. We had to use... stupid. I wonder if Michael got his back that I chucked and booted into the car park of the gym. Just curious.
Probably not.
I'll ask him when I see him.
Sorry, Mike.
And if he doesn't, we'll send you Cam's address and you can bill him for a new one.
Yeah, if you want to go to Rotherham and get called a scab, that's fine by me. That's all I ever get. Alan's getting collared left, right and centre, going through Sutton, going up the Stags, this, that and the other. Alan Wilson, yeah, come take a walk down my street. Not the same.
Cam, you could live anywhere in the country and people will still call you names because I will continue to pay them to do so.
That's not very nice. Anyway, moving on.
Yes, moving on. Ben says agree on Boateng. We need him to start against MK's Lively and cause us trouble. The thing with Boateng, Cam, for me, is he is a player which we make no secret about. He absolutely frustrates me. But he performs well in certain games when we play certain types of football. If we play it fluidly through midfield and come up against a side who give you space and we're allowed to counter and break, he's the perfect fit for that. But when we come up against sides that require a little bit of brawn, someone smashing through them, someone winning a header and someone having to be a little bit more physical, that's when he struggles. It is a fluid, on the edge of your seat, showy player. He's not a, you know, grit and gristle player.
Which is the sort of player that you want right now.
Yeah.
He was better on Tuesday night, and obviously he fully deserved his man of the match. I think him or Lucas Aitkins, another one who was dire on Saturday, pulled it out and really, really quite good, to be honest. Mm. Who'd have said that a couple of weeks ago? Play him at right back. I remember... previously, we've always said don't play him at right back because he's shocking, but...
I still maintain watching the first 10 minutes from at right back was giving me heart palpitations.
Oh, it was, but some of the balls just knocking it around his player and then where's this pace come from?
Let's just get George Williams fit and play George Williams right back, shall we? And or Aaron Lewis or Bowery and put Ollie Clark in the back four. There's more options than Aikens at right back. That's all I'm saying.
Well, would you do what we did for the last 10, 15 minutes against Forest Green and go five at the back essentially?
I don't know. I'm not averse to changing it at this time of the season. Quite like the link with Aikens and Boateng, says Mark on Tuesday night. Thought Aikens played with a bit of freedom for a change instead of having his shirt tugged off the back down the front. And the gate says, need to stop these silly passes at the back more than once. It could have led to danger. Yeah, absolutely agree with that as well. Keely says, Aaron Lewis needs to play from the start. He's looked good coming on both matches as a sub. Yeah, always impressed with Aaron Lewis. Think I'm going to start calling Lewis Mandango as he's sporting a 70s porn star's tash, says the gate. Simon says, MK Don's game with how their midfield controlled the game at Field Mill and having a makeshift defence, should we play five in midfield for protection and more control in midfield? In my opinion, never change what you do because it's been so successful for us. I think it's just about the right team selection. What's your thoughts on that, Al, before I move on to Tom Nichols, who I definitely want to give a bit of a shout out to?
Well, would you go five in midfield against MK is the depending question. On how... Yeah, no, I think not. I watched them against Stockport, and to be fair, MK, 10 minutes, were all over Stockport like a rash. And then Stockport started to move up against them, you know, and really press them hard, press them high, and they just crumbled. So I wouldn't personally have five, but I would definitely start with Marius and Clark. They'd be first two on the team sheet for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Maris was excellent again on Tuesday night, and Ollie Clark always sort of at this time of the season is exactly what you need. Martin says Swan and Nichols up top for me with DKD in behind. Reed, Boateng, Quinn, and Clark in midfield. Flint and Hewitt centre half. Maka left back and right back between Aikens and Bowery. We are Wrexham in the comments also says, might be the only time this season I get to cheer for you. Take out MK and we both might confirm automatic promotion. Long way to go yet. But yes, we'll certainly be watching other people's results with open eyes. Let's talk Tom Nichols for a second, Cam, because as much as we were talking earlier about Boateng getting man of the match, giving Aikens some praise, Tom Nichols has come in for a little bit of criticism, naturally, because he's a striker who's got a record of scoring goals and hasn't really particularly hit the ground running. He did when he first started, then he dropped off and hasn't really lit the fireworks which people expected him to. I thought on Tuesday night he showed the Tom Nichols which he can progress into. Very good off the ball. His movement is absolutely spot on. He drops in, wins the ball, makes clever runs to get into space. And his run and his vision and awareness for the goal that he scored, absolutely spot on. He saw what Boateng was going to do with it. He dropped off, got in the space, and the finish on the header, looping it up and over the keeper rather than a bullet into the near corner, I thought deserved a lot more credit than what it got.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think he knew that it was going to drop in because he was kind of just on his knees where he sort of like just got up off the floor and the next thing you know, he's running off. There's an air of luck about it. Mm. But like you said, he knew what Boateng was going to do. And if you don't get yourselves in those positions, how are you supposed to score? I think we could have been a little bit more clinical in general going forward. This is not just Nichols. This is just whoever's played up front. But from where we were on Saturday to where we are now, you've got to be thinking like, right, well, he's got to start the next game because he's looked better than Aikens up front. Him and Swan have looked dangerous together, a bit more of a direct running sort of attack. And they seem to complement each other well, and they look dangerous. And it's about time that things started to click for Nichols, because I think there's been a few chances where he's been a bit wasteful. And is that down to confidence? You probably think so, but we've not really been at the races for the last few games. So like we might have won at Bradford, for example, but it was prior to that, you'd be thinking like we'd not 100% where we'd want to be performance wise. And I get that. I get the whole thing of it doesn't matter the performance; it all always matters about the result, which is fine. But when you need players like your strikers who live on confidence, you need to get them firing at the right time. And now is the right time. Let's just hope that Nichols can just keep it going. He put himself in the right position on Tuesday, and all we need is one or two to fall like that on Saturday, and we could be very much talking about a very different situation this time next week.
Absolutely. Al, let's talk Stephen McLaughlin. Paul in the comments says, wouldn't start with Macca. He's lost that mile of pace. I thought Tuesday night we saw the Stephen McLaughlin of two seasons ago. I thought he was back to his best.
There was a couple of times the left-hand side where him and Quinn, you know, were rolling back 2 years ago because they played really well together. I thought he had a reasonable game, to be perfectly honest. I would leave Macca as he is. But that's only my opinion. Yeah,
I think it's more, Al, about whether or not he's actually got the physicality to do two games back-to-back, because that's the problem at the minute. We've got seven defenders missing, and Nigel Clough sort of went through them. You know, Alfie Kilgore obviously out long-term, Bailey Cargill missing, Lewis Brunt missing. You know, you've also, who else am I missing? The two Callums, Callum Johnson and Callum McDonald. And then you look at Elliot Hewitt, who's not 100% fit, and George Williams, who's not 100% fit. Nigel Clough said the reason he didn't start with Williams on Tuesday is because he couldn't, and Elliot Hewitt wasn't feeling well enough, and you've got to manage coming back from injury. So essentially, we're missing seven defenders, with two of the seven only able to play in alternate games, and depending on how they're feeling on the day, and even that might not be the full 90 minutes. The only negative that I can throw back at Nigel Clough for it is you've got George Cooper just outside the 18. He came on the bench on Tuesday, and he doesn't give him a fair crack of the whip. But even with seven defenders missing, I think it is a big question over who you start based on who's fit and who can fit the jigsaw puzzle in the best of places, Al.
Yeah, I like the comment about Lewis at right back. I would like to see him given a chance. It's only my opinion, like a lot of other people's opinions, but I would like to see him given a chance because I think he played there at Newport and he did reasonably well. Didn't he get player of the year? I don't know whether he stayed in that position all the time, but I don't know about that. But I know he has played there, and just give him a chance, see what he can do. But we don't see them in training, and we don't see what other things are, do we? So, you know, there's got to be a reason why he hasn't played there, because otherwise Aikens wouldn't have played there.
Yeah, and I think it all goes down to Nigel Clough's trust as well, Cam, because you know, Aaron Lewis has got this particular skill set that he can play at right back. Nigel Clough might not want to put him there in terms of his pecking order. We know he's got his pecking order of Jordan Bowery, George Williams, Lucas Aikens, Elliot Hewitt. It's difficult for someone to break that order because it's just the way that Nigel Clough works.
Yeah, it is. We know that he's got his favourites, and it makes it difficult for the rest of the team to potentially sort of like break into that starting 11. But we've also been very critical as fans and just in general of certain players over the last two seasons where we've maybe given him a little bit of stick in someone like Lucas Aikens, but they've pulled it out of the bag. So you can understand why Nigel trusts them and has faith in them. I don't think now, for example, would be the time to start changing it too much. We've got to keep some familiarity about how the style of football that we're playing. We can't be chopping and changing too much because it just leads to confusion, because we might be playing a specific way, but then all of a sudden we might change a formation partway through a game, and it all depends on the players that you bring on. We need to be able to be playing the same style of football that we've done for most of the season, and we've got certain players that will play that style better than others. And yes, we've got injuries at the moment, and it means that, say, Aikens is having to play at the back. Well, we know that he can do it, but we also know that if we need to change it up, we've got the options on the bench. At the moment, we do. And we can just change the personnel, but we don't have to necessarily change how we're playing the game, because we know what's effective, we know what's not effective. And games where we've changed how we play depending on the opposition, we've not fared very well. We've changed for the opposition, we've not forced the opposition to change for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep your comments coming in. Have your say on your team. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk all things negative and positive as we look ahead to that big game at MK Dons on Saturday afternoon. What could it mean for Mansfield Town's season? What could it mean for Mansfield Town's promotion hopes? Do not go anywhere. We'll be right back after these.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're back with the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. Thanks for joining us live this evening. And if you're listening to the audio version of this, feel free to come and join us. We will be next live on Sunday. Yes, Sunday. The Sunday sermon-ish will be back as we head towards the end of the season. Stay tuned to our social media page to find out at what time we will be live on Sunday. But we will be on at some point on Sunday to reflect on the MK Dons game and look ahead to the vital, vital game in hand over Accrington Stanley on Tuesday night at One Course Stadium. Right, Alan, before we go into looking at the permutations and questioning what I'm sure will be absolutely ridiculously stupid maths from me, let's talk bottling it. Because we were talking about it before the show started, and obviously, it all comes around because of what happened on Saturday, dropping out of the top three. You know, we've essentially fallen from top spot out of the top three prior to Tuesday's game, of course. I don't particularly think we have bottled it in terms of bottle promotion. What I think we have done, though, is I think we've bottled the title and going as champions, which... This, you know, as we know, as a wider conversation, is absolutely irrelevant because we just want to finish in the top three. But the frustration comes from we were there, we were clear, we had a clear lead on Stockport and the others, and we've seemingly thrown that away. And I think the hope more than anything is that it doesn't affect us mentally, which I think it did if you strip it back after the Wrexham game.
And it's like we said before, Craig, I just think we've hit our blip at the wrong time. We've gone reasonably well all the way through the season. We've had us up and down. We didn't lose many. We were drawing games. We were very hard to beat. And, you know, it just seemed to be those defensive lapses suddenly creeping in and over one or two games. And we just lost us form and lost us way a little bit. But I think there's signs of where the grittiness is coming back. Especially after Tuesday, albeit Forest Green didn't test us that much. And I'm sure MK Dons will test us a lot better. But, you know, there was something there to get his teeth into Tuesday night. And you could see it after Saturday.
Fact is, though, Cam, we were at the top of the table. We did have a solid lead clear at the top as well. And it was well within our own hands to go and be what ultimately the stats will show. Mansfield should potentially have had a claim for being champions this year, given up until a few games ago, the most goals scored, least goals conceded, best goal difference, all of that sort of stuff, and the start we had as well. But Mansfield did a Mansfield. We just couldn't stand the heat, so we couldn't stay in the kitchen.
Yeah. We knew that this season wouldn't be as straightforward. We were hoping a couple of weeks ago that it would be. Mm. Plain sailing. Winning games, loss here and there, but it's not the end of the world. We knew we weren't going to go the rest of the season unbeaten, especially playing all the teams around us and playing the form teams in the league over the last few weeks. But surely we didn't see such a capitulation in the way that we did. And hopefully, touch wood, we're through it. But why is Mansfield Town, do we have to do everything the hard way? Could have been so much more comfortable.
If you've not realised by now, it's part of our DNA. Before we look at permutations, there's one thing we didn't talk about in the first half of the show, which I want to pick up on again. Someone mentioned clean sheets. Christy Pym has been phenomenal for us this season. There's no doubting that. But at the start of the season, Christy Pym brought something other than saves. He brought a little bit of magic. He brought a little bit of what I call the Stephen Quinn factor. You know, that explosion. Yeah. Quinn flies into a challenge. Everyone's off the seats. Everyone's up. There's a rouse in the crowd noise. Pym would make a save at the start of the season, and that's exactly what would happen. And we'd keep clean sheets, and we'd be tight because of that. And I'm not saying it's Pym's fault. You could possibly delve into the video and argue that he could have done better with some of the goals that we've conceded, especially in the Crawley game. Irrelevant. The fact is, we hadn't kept a clean sheet for a while, and I think that was starting to dent confidence at the back and with him as well. Tuesday night, as important as Tom Nicholls' goal, Christy Pym made three quality saves, including a double save in that second half. And him keeping a clean sheet is just as big for me as Tom Nicholls scoring that goal and getting us over line. That was the moment where it clicked again. It all of a sudden, this is what we do. We get behind everyone. It's everyone's got a part to play here. That was vital.
Agree 100%, Craig. He made two. I know the other one you're on about as well, but that double save, it was 100% quality, weren't it? And we needed it because, I mean, if he hadn't have done it, we could easily have lost the game. But, you know, he came up, he stood up when he was needed, when he was called upon. And I'm sure he'll be just as happy as anybody else, if not more happy, that he did actually get a clean sheet, because it's a while since we've had one. And same as you say, before then, we were, you know, they're keeping him for fun, if you like.
Right, let's answer this question from Susan then, Cam. Do you think MK Dons will feel the pressure more, knowing a defeat against Mansfield could end their hopes, with Mansfield then having the game in hand to come? Obviously, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we played MK at our place, one of the games in which we've lost and we've not looked good enough this season. We're obviously taking around 3,000 fans. We could have had more a little bit as well. But is the pressure on them as much because we won our game in hand on Tuesday and leapfrogged them again? They've had the opportunity, then we've got it back, and now we've got the opportunity to knock them back down a peg or two. Are they feeling the pressure more than us, or are we feeling the pressure more than them?
Two parts to that question, because you look at it on face value and you think, well, MK Dons have got to win, have to win on Saturday to overtake us. But they know that them winning on Saturday still might not be enough for them, because of the game in hand on Tuesday. We could just go back above them again and we could just play leapfrog till the end of the season. But they know that regardless of whatever the result is on Saturday, they know that if they did lose, that is pretty much it for them. Because if we then went and won on Tuesday night, they couldn't catch us. Yeah. I'm not sure about Barrow. Don't think they can either at the moment.
Yeah, but Barrow can. Let's have a little look at these permutations then. So, obviously, this would be the scenario if the Stags were to win on Saturday at MK Dons. That would take the Stags to 79 points, according to my calculations, and MK Dons would remain on 74 points. That gives Mansfield a 5-point lead ahead of the Stags' game in hand against Accrington on Tuesday. Should the Stags then win that game, that lead will extend to 8 points, with MK having 6 left to play for, which could guarantee Mansfield promotion on Tuesday night, dependent somewhat on other results, and we'll come to that in a little while. If the Stags were to draw on Saturday, Stags would stay in third on 77, MK on 75. Mansfield have a 2-point lead ahead of the game in hand against Accrington. Should the Stags then win that, the lead would be 5 points, with MK having six left to play for. So it would be a scenario for the following Saturday's results. Of course, there's a scenario where Mansfield lose on Saturday at MK, and that would put MK back above the Stags on 77 points. The Stags remain on 76. MK would then have a 1-point lead ahead of the Stags game in hand against Accrington, and the Stags would only then go in back into the top three post-Accrington with a win, which would mean a 2-point lead, or a draw because of the far superior goal difference. Let's have a look at other scenarios as well, and let's have a little look at what other teams can do and how it stands with those other teams as well. Let me just get rid of the ticker at the bottom so you can see that full on screen. And that is, as it stands at the minute, looking at the other teams around us, as we go into Saturday, MK Dons have got three games left to play. They're 2 points behind with 9 points up for grabs, including us to play. Crewe Alexandra then in fifth place, 70 points on the board. Three games also left to play, which includes Wrexham at home. 6 points behind the Stags as it stands at the minute with 9 still to play for. Barrow are the interesting one in six, 67 points on the board. But they've got 5 games left to play, including us, on the final game of the season. So they're 9 points behind with 15 left to play for. And then Crawley in seventh, 65 points on the board, 4 games left, which means 11 points behind with 12 left to play for. So if the Stags were then to win at MK Dons, who could catch the Stags if they also won on Saturday? Crewe could, because they'd still be 6 behind with 6 left to play for. But of course, then the game in hand comes into play. Barrow definitely could, because they'd be 9 behind with 12 remaining to play for, including having us to play on the final day. But Crawley couldn't, because they'd be 11 behind with 9 still to play for. And it is the Barrow one which is the more interesting scenario, of course. If the Stags beat MK Dons and Accrington, promotion would only be guaranteed in this scenario if Barrow failed to win on Tuesday at Crawley, because 2 wins for Barrow in their next 2 puts plus 2 wins for the Stags puts Barrow 9 points behind with 9 points still to play for, including playing us on the final game of the season. So as much as it is as simple, Alan, as we just do our job and get the points on the board and keep winning and stay in third, which is the simplistic logic to it, the other teams in and around us still have a huge, huge, huge part to play in this season. None more so than Barrow. And I don't just mean in terms of having 5 games left. It's who they've got left to play as well, one of which is us. The other one is Crawley. Another is Doncaster, who's one of the form teams at the moment. Another being Bradford, who will want to finish strongly. And of course, another half contender in Gillingham. So it's every other team has got points to play for and an influence to be had, surely.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It looks, you've done some good maths there, Craig. It does look interesting running, doesn't it? But, you know, MK must be the ones that are sweating a little bit because they've only got 3 games left. We've got 4. Like you say, Barrow have got 5. But as we've said all season, it's in our hands. If we do the job Saturday, even if it's only, I would take a draw Saturday and then complement it with a win against Accrington. You know, because that's just so long as we don't lose. I know even if we do lose, it's not the end of the world. We could still pull it back on Tuesday. But, you know, it is in our hands. That's it.
I mean, there probably is a scenario somewhere where we could probably still win the title if other teams screwed up. I just don't see it. I don't care about chasing it either, Cameron. I know I've probably got one of the fixtures wrong, that I've probably put someone at home when they're away. Off. I did it in 10 minutes. All right. And you know my maths is absolutely... crap, so just on. The simplistic point is, though, Cam, it's not about what other teams do and relying on other teams. It is still in a position where Mansfield Town impacts the future of Mansfield Town, not looking at other results. Win or draw on Saturday, that is the best scenario for us. The worst scenario is losing, because then we are relying on others. As long as we keep MK Dons at bay and keep that gap there, the rest is for us to do. Because a win on Saturday puts us, what, 5 points ahead of them?
Yeah.
And a draw puts us 2 points ahead of them, with Cam, the critical game in hand over them against Accrington on Tuesday night.
To be honest, I think the minimum we have to aim for is a draw on Saturday, because then we draw Saturday and then we won on Tuesday. It means they'd have 6 points to play for and there'd be five behind us. And we'd have to lose both and they'd have to win both. And that seems a taller order than what we need. I think the simplest way of putting it is, if we win Saturday, I hope that Gillingham can do us a favour. Come on, Ollie, George, we're looking at you too. Do us a favour. It genuinely could be I think it's absolutely insane that we've not sold. I had a look at tickets earlier. We've not sold out for MK Dons. Mental. Why have we not sold out for MK Dons? I know they've messed around with tickets, but we've not sold out. There's tickets still left. If you've not got your tickets, you've got until 12 o'clock tomorrow, lunchtime.
Yeah, to get on it.
Get on it. It'll be a cracking game. Accrington Tuesday night hasn't sold that many tickets, but I'd imagine win on Saturday, then that'll sell out. Gillingham, just saying, we're down to two blocks. Block A in the West Stand and Block J in the West Stand, in the West Upper. They've released those tickets. There's no other tickets available for that Gillingham game. So if you want to go, get your tickets early, because come Saturday, if we won, good luck getting a ticket, because they'll fly. But it's just an interesting end to the season, and hopefully we can finish it off. But it's going to keep coming back. Who's the pressure on? I don't think it's us. I think we've got to do what we've got to do, but you know that the other teams below us that are one team where we are in the table, which is third place, they know that we've got to slip up, and then they've got to do their job. You've got other teams asking for more than what we do from our final fixtures. If we won every fixture between now and the end of the season, nobody can pass us.
Yeah.
So as much as we need to do what we need to do, we know that we're not relying on other results. Just do what we do.
It's like Andy says, 5 games in 15 days for Barrow, it's a tough ask.
And you've got to play the two form sides in Crawley and Doncaster. Doncaster have won 7 on the bounce.
It is a tough ask.
I think they've got to go to Gillingham and Crawley as well, which is a trek for Barrow.
Yeah.
And they've lost the last two as well, but all irrelevant. It's all on us, and it's all just about us keeping our focus and just getting our thing. Wanted to put the little scenarios out there as well. But I'd agree, you know, there is a significant points gap. I'd be a lot more nervy, Cam, if the points gap was only one or two. You know, we are looking at a significant points gap the lower down the table we go. Realistically, the only one with a tight points gap is MK Dons, and we're playing them on Saturday. So that points gap could get obliterated on Saturday. It's all about... And even if it doesn't, worst case scenario, even if we have a nightmare game again, we've still got an extra game to leapfrog them. So it's not like we're going toe to toe. We've still got an advantage in our back pocket.
We do. And we've just got to use that as ammunition to get the players going. Ollie Clark said it in his press conference earlier in the week. If you are in this situation and you can't get yourself going, you shouldn't be playing professional football. And he's right. We have got such a chance, and we've got we've probably got a better chance of getting automatic promotion than we have the last few times. You think back to the 18-19 season under Dave, we have a better chance now of doing it than we did then. We've got more points on the board already. We've got more games left, and the opposition are not saying easier, but you think the running wise that we've probably got a better running than the others. So it swings and roundabouts, and it will never be simple because it's Mansfield Town, but yeah, it's just going to keep coming back to it. We just need to do what we need to do. It's all that matters now.
Before we go into podcast predictions very briefly, Al, how much does that ill-fated game of a couple of seasons ago weigh on our mind? Under Flitcroft, final game of the season, all Mansfield needed to get promoted and finish third was a point, and they conceded in the third minute and lost the game and ended up in the playoffs. How much significance does that have? How much does it weigh on our minds as supporters? Not the players, because there's no one left from that time, but how much does it weigh on our minds as supporters that it's almost a similar situation, almost the same situation?
I don't think it... Well, personally, it doesn't for me. I mean, I can't say for any other member of the fans, you know, majority, but it doesn't for me. It's one game. If we play anything like, I can see us getting at least a draw, which is, you know, it's, we just don't need to lose. Simple as. And I think, you know, when you hark back to that, I mean, Neil Bishop talks about that, doesn't he? Say, you know, that's a, one of the worst parts of his career, lows in there. But it doesn't matter to me, mate. I agree with what you say. You know, with some fans will think about it. But, you know, we could be singing and chanting at the end of 90 minutes or 97 minutes, whatever, on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's time to get guests in. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? It's the guessing game that brings you zero fame. But to be the best, you must outguess the rest. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? In the League or Cup, you just make it up. Because they're just works of fiction. It's podcast predictions. Will they win, lose or draw? Right, I'm going to kick us off this week. I'm going to start with a 2-0 win for the Stags at MK Dons. Christy Pym, man of the match. Another clean sheet. I think it'll be nervy. I think it'll be on edge. But I back us to win 2-0. Cam, over to you.
Oh, it's Mansfield. It's never easy. They're going to make us sweat. I think it's going to be a 2-1 win.
Was. Man of the match?
Can I not say a man of the match?
No, you've got to use the game.
Nigel Clough gets it for pulling out an absolute managerial masterclass.
It's not how it works, you know that. Don't fuck with the game at this point.
Flint, I think he's going to right the wrongs of last Saturday and he's going to put in an absolute worldie.
Alan Wilson, the man who is leader of the Mansfield Matters podcast predictions pack, over to you.
I would go MK Dons 1, Mansfield Town 2, and I think DKD is going to have an absolute worldie.
Ah, interesting. I actually wrote down before we did the predictions 2-1, but I changed it to 2-0 at the last minute. So, interesting that we've all gone for a very similar.
I changed mine to, I was going to say Pym, man of the match, but I think DKD will
be very much due a goal, isn't he? As always, if you want to play along with podcast predictions, you can do so via the link in the description. You must submit your guesses no later than 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff on Saturday afternoon as the Stags take on MK Dons in a game which could be make or break for the season in terms of automatic promotion. It's going to have one hell of a sway. Put it that way. Nervous yet, Al?
No. No, really looking forward to it. I'm a big believer in what will be, Craig. You know, if we lose, we've still got Tuesday night. I have a feeling that they're going to pull it out the bag and there might be a surprise in the lineup.
Oh, okay. Who's your surprise?
Brunt.
Oh, okay. Cam.
Yeah. What'll be will be. I think we've just got to be positive. I think as much as there's a lot of negativity at the moment because of bad results, but Tuesday night was the season-defining moment for me. I think we've stopped the rot. Now we've just got to go in and kick on and, fingers crossed, touch wood, look at the Irish and anything. I think we'll be all but there next time you see us on Sunday evening.
Well, let's hope so. Let's end there on a positive note, shall we? Mansfield against MK Dons, a trip to MK Dons on Saturday afternoon. Will it set us up for a fantastic final three? The how is not important. It's just doing the job that counts. It's going to be nervy. It's going to be tense. You're going to lose all your fingernails. You might even lose all your hair. But who cares? Because that is the joy of watching Mansfield Town FC going through this roller coaster ride. Tuesday night's victory over Forest Green put us back into the top three. A win or a draw at MK Dons on Saturday will keep us in that top three. And then it's all about Tuesday night at home to Accrington. Join us on Sunday, time to be confirmed, to recap that MK Dons game and look ahead to a key game on Tuesday at home to Accrington. My thanks to the Mansfield Matters podcast panel. My thanks to you guys watching and listening at home. And remember one thing. The Crawley game is gone. The Forest Green game is gone. All of the other games this season have gone. There's only one game which is important now. One game we can influence. One game we can focus on. MK Dons at Saturday. Sing your hearts out. Back the boys for all the 90 minutes. And who knows, on Sunday night, it could be a show with the champagne on ice. Let's hope it's that and not tears in the tea.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.